The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Thank you for joining us for another edition of HR Today on a wet, chilly week in October. We are joined by Jemima Kikava. That's a lot of points in Scrabble right there. Who is an HR generalist with a Philadelphia nonprofit organization. Her background includes over 5 years of HR professional experience in both profit and non-for-profit. Currently, she is a generalist with her primary focus on benefit administration, employee onboarding and offboarding, and employee relations. Jemima began her career in real estate and quickly switched focus and completed her bachelor's from DeVry in business management with a concentration in HR. Her off time, she spends with her family going to Disney and eating turkey legs and playing with her poodles and her daughter. And she's currently pursuing her SPHR cert. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So we're going to talk about what HR professionals deal with on a day-to-day basis.
Yes.
I'm sure no 2 days are alike.
No.
And how many headaches you have depends on how many employees you have, correct?
Always have Advil in my drawer.
Okay. So on a day-to-day basis, I mean, you're walking in today after this show. What do you have any idea what's going to hit the plate today?
No. I mean, I have my day-to-day routines, things I have to get to, the welcome emails to send out to employees, you know, the reportings to check on and to do certain audits. But the email, that's a whole nother unknown of who's going to email what.
So it's evolved. It's probably changed in the 5 years you've been doing this. Let's talk about what value does HR bring to an organization today?
Aside from your normal, you know, what HR is supposed to be, which is it mitigates risk and it carries out the administrative function within the organization, we also support the standards, the culture, and we provide a voice for the human side of the internal community. And then, to be honest with you, HR is also what I like to call a compliance officer. So we handle a lot of compliance, structure, policy. So it brings a lot to the company. It makes it flow, in my opinion.
So when you say it brings, there's complexities involved in culture. Culture starts at the top and disseminates down. Are you, as HR, an intermediary between the C-level suite, or are you also someone that's pushing out the culture on a day-to-day basis to make sure that the employees are happy and adhering to what the C-level brings?
It does make it easier when senior staff is aligned with the culture within the company as well. We are fortunate within my organization where our senior leaders are extremely employee-centric, so it does make it easier. It does, I mean, the organization culture differs from industry to industry depending on what leaders you're dealing with, but for us, it does come from the top, and we support it fully.
My experience has been, and you can certainly discuss this and disagree, but especially in a nonprofit arena, employees have the passion and drive and like the mission of the nonprofit.
Correct.
So I don't want to say it makes it easier, but there's a common theme and bond in a nonprofit. We're a for-profit. It's all cash. Let's make money. You know, yeah, it's for the good of the company, but we got to make money. At the nonprofit, it's more the mission. Am I right with
it? It is. No, I totally see it. And again, you have your, and I don't want to kind of say this, it's not true for everybody, but right. I have seen people at different organizations just put in their 9-to-5 and just go home. But in nonprofits, you are right. People are there for a specific reason, for a mission. So
being there, you're hiring people that probably are believing this mission. So what techniques are you using when you're hiring, especially in a nonprofit?
So I've actually, and this is in my experience, that I found that standardized questions, and this is not for every job, of course, but standardized questions like when you're asked during interviews, why should we hire you? What is the greatest weakness you've experienced in your position? Or what will you do if you don't get this job? That's actually one of the questions that I received once at an interview.
What happens if you say, I'm going to jump off a bridge?
Yeah, right. and that was for an HR
position
role.
Right.
To me, that doesn't tell me a lot about the candidate. What I have done that has worked for us is do situational questions. Provide examples of what that person is going to deal with within the organization, the department, or even at that position. For example, one of my, and I actually got the job, one of the interesting interviews that I had was, hey, I got this voicemail. This person is requesting leave because they have to go and take care of their parent. What would you do in that situation? And then you know, as an HR professional, you show your knowledge. What would you do in that situation? Would you look at the policy? Are you going to jump straight to FMLA? Are you going to see how many days they've worked and see if they qualify for certain things? So I think it tells you more in depth of what the knowledge is and their experience.
And with that, what kind of relationship should the supervisors have with HR when it comes to working today?
Oh, that's an interesting one. So we definitely don't want to be the principal's office. We want employees and supervisors to view HR as your coach, as your guide, as a point of even some training, right? We don't want to get those calls from supervisors Friday at 4:30 saying, I got to fire this person. I can't take it anymore. And HR has never heard anything about this employee. So keep an open communication and bring HR in the beginning, not when things have escalated. So that is the relationship that we're looking to have. We're looking to partner with supervisors, and I think that would be healthy for the organization.
So when it comes to all of the interactions and complexities of HR, I'm sure a lot of it, you have reporting. And today it's so prevalent all over. You got to report. What are the complexities surrounding HRIS reporting today, and how is that evolving?
So I've worked with SAP, ADP, Paycom, Kronos, I mean, you name it. I've worked with a lot.
Do you like any of them?
I do.
Okay, well, answer a question.
I do,
just curious.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll answer that at the end. But I've actually found that some, depending on what you're doing, you have to let your representative know, which is why I think we need to standardize our language when we're within HR and with our vendors. So for example, the person, when you're calling, let's say, I'm just throwing this out here, let's say if we call ADP, that representative may or may not have HR experience. So they don't know what reporting you're asking for unless it's already set up. But something that's customized for the company itself, for example, you have to let them know what you're using it for. What do you need it for? The function, basically, behind it. For example, I want to run an audit for to see how many people have increased their life insurance for, you know, after open enrollment. Let them know, because if you're just going to say, how can I run a life insurance report, they might not know, and you're going to get a response that says no instead of what it actually should be.
And when it comes to employee assistance programs, how you best help them, how has that evolved recently?
So the EAP programs are very important, because we have to also remember that our employees need have life outside of work.
Sure.
And the work-life balance impacts the performance and productivity within the organization. And providing these benefits will allow the employees will provide the support for the employees. It could also assist HR with employee relation issues, as well as mandatory referrals when needed.
So when you are looking at all these moving pieces on a daily basis, your plate's full.
Yeah, absolutely.
And your organization has 200 and some employees, correct?
Yes.
How many people are helping you do HR?
It's a team of three.
Okay, so three people.
Yeah.
So if you divide it up, you're talking 70 people. Not that it matters that way,
right.
But 70 people per HR specialist.
Yes. And I also assist the director with trainings. So.
And I heard you have to shovel a walk on snow days too.
No.
Are there any other issues that come to play every single day or on a monthly basis that take up a lot of the time that you see as curveballs that HR is dealing with that they might not have been dealing with years ago?
Let me think on that.
And there's really no wrong answer. Look at the bright
side. I think the culture is certainly changing, especially with the millennial generation. The vacation times, you know, the paid time offs, there's more demand for it. So I think the companies are shuffling around to accommodate employees to, I guess, make positions more and companies more attractive to new candidates.
I notice it's funny you say that because back when I started work in 1846, before the gold rush in San Francisco, if you didn't show up at work and you didn't call up, you're done.
Right.
You know, casual days on Friday were suits without a tie. And I'm not kidding you. You still to wear a suit, just no tie. That's casual. Now I'm seeing, you know, kids in flip-flops.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And when they wear shorts too short and you tell them, they look at you like you're the one that has a third eye.
Yeah.
So I notice the twist is because we don't have enough employees, you're almost catering to them.
Correct.
And that's going to create an effect down the road, which we can talk about another time.
Yes.
So why don't you tell everyone why you like HR, Jemima?
I don't like HR. I love HR.
Okay.
And maybe I haven't been in it for, you know, long enough. And that's why I'm saying it. But I absolutely love it. I love the fact that it has so many different functions. And you're never bored. It really, every day is a new day. It's a new issue. Even employee relations, as complex as they can get, even with and ADAs within the hiring process, it's just exciting. Never a dull moment in HR.
All right, I want to thank Jemima Kikava from a Philadelphia nonprofit organization for joining us. As always, we're sponsored by the Dubin Group for your staffing needs for accounting, administrative, and light warehouse, and NFP for your health benefits. We'll be back right after these words.
Will this be the year that your company makes its move? What about the one or two people in your organization who are still question marks? Maybe their way of thinking is not progressive. Have their computer and accounting skills faded? Are they still doing things the way they've always done them? That's a bad fit if they're making key decisions for your company. Letting go a key employee is never easy. The Dubin Group can help. They can conduct confidential replacement hiring for clients that need to make an immediate change and replace a current key employee with a top talent that will keep your company growing. From the recruitment and screening of candidates to conducting off-site interviews and every step to the final offer. Call Ken Dubin right now. The Dubin Group, matching the right people with the right companies for over 15 years in the Delaware Valley. Confidentially replacing an employee is never easy. Let the Dubin Group help. Call right now.
When it comes to employee benefits, the name to know is Sharon Planning, the premier employee benefit consulting firm in the Delaware Valley. Sharon Planning is headquartered right here and has been serving companies in the Delaware Valley for over 15 years. Sharon Planning focuses on middle market firms with as few as 100 employees and as many as 5,000 employees. However, they also serve clients with 3 to 30,000 employees. They specialize in planning, designing, implementing, and managing an effective employee benefit package for your team from start to finish. Sharon Planning will save your company money while maximizing your employees' benefits and make their lives easier. Get the Sharon Planning team with over 65 employees, 160 clients, and $500 million in managed premium on your side. Contact Rich Kreckstein, Director of Business Development, right now at rkreckstein@sharon.nfp.com. That's rkreckstein, K-R-E-K-S-T-E-E-N, @sharon.nfp.com. Sharon Planning can make a difference for your company.
And thank you for joining us for the second half of HR Today. As always, we are sponsored by NFP for your health benefit consulting needs and the Dubin Group for accounting, administrative, HR, and warehouse temp and direct hire. We're with Katie Devaney, who is the HR team lead and generalist for Tyndale. located in Pipersville, right up in Bucks County. We have had them on before. Very interesting company. They're a manufacturer and distributor of clothing for the specialty needs of utility workers. So when Pico's up on that pole and it's freezing cold and it's wet and raining, they're warm and protected by Tyndale, right?
Yes.
Okay, I described it perfectly. So Katie started with Tyndale in 2014 and earned her HR cert in 2016. And today she supports all of Tyndale's general HR functions and also focuses on the delivery of HR excellence through employee engagement, performance management, and employee relations. She's been recognized as a two-time CEO Award for Excellence winner at Tyndale for major strategic programs and initiatives. And she describes herself as approachable and collaborative, HR professional, and relentless. We're going to talk a little bit about employee engagement, which is very hard today, and how we deal with it through charitable giving, volunteerism. And it's a fine balance, Katie. First, thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
You know, it's nice to be able to give an employee off for something, that whether it's Habitat for Humanity, they're going to go build a house, they're going to go paint something, they're going to go build a playground for kids. To me, that's great. Right. I'd give employees off all the time for that. It's when they take advantage of it becomes a problem. Yeah, I'm gonna do a nonprofit today for my mom. I'm gonna be cleaning her house for free. That's not what you're talking about.
No.
So let's first talk about Tyndale's exploding.
Yes.
How many employees do you have right now?
So we have about 350 employees company-wide.
So 350 employees, if everyone took 2 days off, that's a lot of time off.
Right, yeah. We actually bring our program in-house. So okay. we allow opportunities for our employees to get involved during the workday and, you know, right in the middle of the action of everything.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So what steps has Tyndale taken to prioritize employee engagement and also have a positive work experience?
Right, yeah. So engagement is so important to any organization. I feel like if you don't have employees who are engaged, it's really hard to be productive. When it's hard to be productive, it's hard to be profitable. So right. we really prioritize engagement and positive experiences. Tyndale's especially focused on this through the interactions we have with each other. So it's built right into our core values. It ranks really high in terms of value for us. As partners to the business, HR professionals can support engagement through creative programs that build a culture of positivity, inclusiveness, and generosity. Tyndale's actually in its third year of creating opportunities for our employees to get involved in their community doing philanthropic activities. So we formed a team called the Proud to Help Committee. We strategically plan and organize ways for our employees to give and donate throughout the year. So the Proud to Help Committee is comprised of members that represent all areas of our business. So some are managers, some are not. We all get together. There's actually an application to the committee because we've had really? So many people, yeah, that want to express interest and be part of the planning. These members serve as champions for the different events that we are determining throughout the year that we're going to contribute to. And so they're seeing the project from start to finish. They're promoting the event or cause. They're creating communication to drum up participation. They're executing the event. They're sharing the results afterwards, getting really excited about it. And there's a lot of camaraderie and collaboration that's built around this.
So each year, the management and the employees select, it might be 2, 3, 4 events, charities that they're going to help sponsor. And then you go all in with them. And each year it might change? Is that what
yes.
you're saying?
Yeah, we actually try to do at least one thing a month. So we kind of plan it in advance in our first quarter. And then we execute throughout the year. And some of the examples of programs we've had success with in the past are like raffle baskets, and proceeds are donated to an organization. We've ran 5Ks together. We've packed care packages for military members. We've cooked dinner at the Ronald McDonald House in Philadelphia. And, you know, we've had like local canned food drives and kind of everything in between.
What you cook at Ronald McDonald? Anything good?
Meatloaf and brownies.
As a kid, I hated it, but now I love it.
Yeah.
It's the gravy that makes it.
Right.
So why should everyone consider starting a program for charitable giving and provide their employees with the opportunity to volunteer therein?
Yeah, great question. So what we know is that our employees are really kind and generous people. They wanted opportunities to donate to meaningful causes and see the organization support them in those efforts. So to be able to bring this to them at work was really important for us. From a business perspective, this is a great way to organically grow presence in your community. You're raising brand awareness for your organization and getting your name out there as an employer of choice. And so some of the events that we've actually sponsored or been a part of have been right in our backyard. You know, we've done the Travis Mannion 5K, Tabor Home, Bucks County Housing Group, you know, things that are local to us and really impactful.
So I'm sure you have the people that say, ugh, I don't feel like doing this everywhere, you know, but what's the best way to get them involved and to increase the employee engagement with your philanthropics?
Yeah, sure. So one of the best ways to get employees involved is to create opportunities to give them a little bit of everything. What I mean by that is that, you know, every employee will have a preference to how they want to get involved and contribute, either by giving their money, giving their time, or giving supplies. So we've planned events that everyone can decide how they want to contribute, and we support them in that. So for those that want to donate money, we've had change jar wars between our buildings. For those that want to donate their time, we've participated in 5K races and brought a group to Ronald McDonald House. And for those who wanted to donate tangible things, we've coordinated a holiday gift drive to underprivileged children, and people can just bring a wrapped gift to the effort. You know, the other way to get employees involved is to choose charity organizations that are relatable, relevant, and meaningful to your employee population. We try to make sure there's at least one charity that supports cancer research, one that supports animal shelters, supports the needy, supports our troops and veterans. So having a wide range of charity organizations that you support throughout the year helps your employees feel that connection and passion around getting involved.
So unless you're Scrooge, there's got to be something that you're supporting.
Yeah.
You can't say no to our troops. You can't say no to kids. You know, we do Alex's Lemonade Stand, and it's your show, not mine today. But, you know, it's children's pediatric cancer research. Yeah. How can you say no to that?
Yeah, and it's an easy thing to get involved in. There's a lot of passion around it. People, you know, want to help. They want to get involved. Yeah.
So if you don't like dogs, you got to like troops. You know,
yeah.
if you don't support war, you got to support kids.
Everything. Right.
So when they get involved, it's okay if someone just donates money and then someone else gets the day off to help cook the meatloaf for Ronald McDonald's House with the good gravy and brownies. No one's angry at each other because everyone donates as they see fit, correct?
Right. The best way that you're going to get engagement is by, you know, allowing those opportunities for people to kind of do how they want to,
right,
to put together. Yeah.
And so, I'm sure people with family might not have the time, or they might say, hey, we're all going to Ronald McDonald House to see what goes on down there because you don't know who could be next.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right. Incorporating the families to this is so important as well.
How does Tyndale's Proud to Help program enhance the overall employee experience?
Yeah, so great question. I see so much camaraderie that's built through these events. You know, we have employees of all areas of the business interacting with each other. They're having fun while doing it. So, you know, our senior sales executive is serving up next to a newly hired production employee. Our employees and their families are walking as a pack through the Philadelphia Zoo to St. Jude's Children's Hospital walk. It's just a really great thing to see, and memorable experiences being built. You know, and we really want to incorporate their families. It's not just about the employees. This is a great way to involve kids, husbands, wives, grandparents in on the fun. And I think a good employee experience is one that extends beyond what we traditionally think of, you know, coming to work and leaving work. So having an experience for the families is a great way to support that, too.
I think, and I'm just going, as you're answering these questions, I'm thinking, it's got to be hard for someone to leave a company like this, because you mentioned the word family. If they're bringing their families to events, it winds up becoming one big family.
Oh, yeah. Tyndale is one big family.
So
it's great.
Your attrition rate's got to be low.
It is. Yeah, we're so lucky. And, you know, I think that is kind of organically built. And, you know, it's through our programs and efforts like this that keeps that going. So, yeah.
So what advice would you give to fellow HR professionals who want to start an initiative like this at their workplace but don't even know where to begin?
Yeah. So the first thing I'd say is to get buy-in from senior leadership. You know, at Tyndale, Gail Wittenberger, our CEO, she was instrumental in getting this off the ground. So she's very much active on the committee still. She goes to nearly all the events, and it's evident how passionate she is about this. So without her support, I don't know that we'd be as successful as we have been in years past. You know, the next tip is to have a plan. Be intentional about your efforts. Get input from employees, plan the programs in advance, create opportunities where everyone can get involved. Find your why. Understand from your business perspective what's driving these efforts and why it matters to your employees. You know, every company is going to be different. Every business has their own vision, and that's okay. What works for us might not work for you. But don't take it on alone. Surround yourself with the super doers and create brand ambassadors that want to be active and participative in championing this program with you. Have them start the buzz and have them get excited about it, and your employees will too. And, you know, last thing, you know, capture these memories. Have fun with it, you know, celebrate it. The small wins, no matter to your organization, to your employees, the little things can add up and have a great big positive employee experience.
Just out of curiosity, if it starts at the top, does the CEO, the C-suite say, hey, I really like this charity, let's do something? Or was it an employee that said, God, I really want to help CHOP with their pediatric
I think
research?
It came from both ends. Honestly, our senior leadership, it recognizes the importance of creating community involvement in our business and being part of something greater. And our employees were itching for that too. And from a candidate experience, I mean, our potential candidates that apply to our company, they want to know what we're doing. They want to know how they can get involved. And so it's a great way to, you know, advocate for that and, you know, have good quality candidates that want to get involved and be part of this too.
Katie, why don't you tell everyone in summary why you love human resources?
Oh, human resources is such a passion for mine because, you know, I really like to see people grow and be the best that they can be. In HR, I feel like we can help impact that. We can help people develop and grow into their best potential self. And for me, it's really exciting to be a part of that.
I want to thank Katie Devaney, who is the HR generalist at Tyndale, a growing supplier for clothing for the utility, among other industries, up in Bucks County. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
We'll be back next week with another edition of HR Today. Thank you so much.